Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 2. Actually, right before that, in verse 1, he says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you've whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." So bless your word, Lord, as it goes forth. I pray for fire to burn away the dross. Pray for division of soul and spirit right now, even as I speak. And so the Lord has been saying this last week to 10 days that we have a choice of cooperating with the searching work of the Holy Spirit that comes in like fire, and we're all laid naked and bare before the Lord. He sees everything. We have the choice to cooperate now with the searching work of the Lord. We have the choice to say yes now to the revealing of secrets in our hearts, or we can put it off till later. But nothing will remain hidden. Nothing that is hidden now will not be disclosed in the future. Everything will come to light. And every secret in your heart will be proclaimed from the rooftops. And we have a choice to deal with this now in agreement with the work of the Lord, or to put this off until that great day of judgment when 1 Corinthians 4 says he will bring judgment on the hidden things. That great purging day of judgment. And so what I'm seeing is that we have begun to scratch the surface in prayer. We've begun as a body to say, yes, we're going to devote ourselves to what you called us to be devoted to, and that is seek your face in the place of prayer. And so we've been praying every morning as a body. We've been praying in the evenings as a body. Many of you have prayer groups that are happening at work and at homes, praying with husbands and wives. And as we're doing this, we're asking that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. And when the kingdom of God comes, righteousness comes. And when righteousness comes, plumb lines come into play. Remember that? Righteousness is the line and justice is the plumb line, I think is what's said. And so what happens is Luke chapter 3 says that crooked places become straight. And every mountain will be brought down and every valley will be lifted up and the rough places will become smooth. And how we have got so many crooked places. Amen? In our hearts. We've got so many wrong ways of thinking because of stuff our parents did and grandparents did and aunts and uncles and stuff we did and said yes to and other people around us and even people in the church. We got strongholds. We got wrong ways of thinking. Amen? And we're crooked deep down, as that song says. We're crooked deep down. And the Lord knows this. And we know this. But we have the choice of acknowledging that and cooperating with the Lord, making those crooked places straight, or we'll just push that off until later. And how I see the Lord working right now is in individuals' lives, he's coming in and he's revealing secrets of the heart. And I'm so happy about that. When I was younger, not too many years before this year, I used to think that the Lord just really hated lying. And so what my job was to do and what we were to do as a church is we were supposed to go get those stinking people out of their lies, and we're just supposed to, come on, let's follow the Lord because he's going to bring the judgment someday. He's going to be angry. And so I did my best to hack a lot of people off by going in there and being zealous for the truth, but going in and just trying to dig in there and pull out the truth, pull out the truth, pull out the truth. And what I'm realizing is, the older I get, the more I know the scriptures, is that the Lord has a reason bigger than that, because yes, he hates lying, But the Lord has a much larger purpose as a good, good father for exposing the darkness and revealing those things that are hidden. He has a much bigger purpose than what I have thought about. And so today, we're praying Psalms 25. Sam started us a few weeks ago praying through the Psalms, one day at a time, praying through the Psalms. So today just happens to be Psalms 25. So if you could go there, I want to lift out hopefully what I believe the Lord's purposes are in revealing the secrets of our hearts. He says in Psalms 25, verse 9, "He guides the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving, always loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great." Verse 15 says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare." He's the only one. "So turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins." And so what I believe the Spirit is saying in this is that while I used to think the Lord came in to point the finger in judgment to get rid of these crooked places and the dark places, now I'm realizing that as the young married couple that was in my house a couple of days ago was talking about some stuff that had happened when they were first married and before, and they had carried this into their marriage, and now they were dealing with regret and shame on one side and then regret and shame on the other side, and they were both under condemnation. And what the Lord was wanting to do was he was wanting to go back into their history. He was wanting to go back into their lives, and he was wanting to bring that oil of anointing and heal them. And the reason he wanted to heal them was so that they could more accurately bring glory to his name going forward. Amen? So this married couple in my house the other night got some stuff they hadn't talked about for years out in the open. And it wasn't so the Lord could stand there through me and through my wife and point a finger at them and say, "You stink. Now come on, do better." It was so that they could get that heavy burden off of their shoulders so that they could press on to know the Lord. Because these are the things that entangle us. These secrets hidden in our heart, these hidden sins, these regrets from the past, like I said earlier, these chains around us. These are the things that keep us from pressing in to know the Lord, and these are what keep us from reflecting the glory of the Lord to the culture around us. And he is the only one. It says, "For you only will release my feet from the snare." So what happens is, when the younger brother that confessed a week or so ago to me and a couple other guys about a hidden life, a secret life that he'd been living for years, a brother in the church, when he confessed this, what he was confessing was, "Yeah, I got the sin, and yeah, I got the condemnation that comes from that," but he was really saying, "I'm lonely and I'm afflicted." He said there hasn't been a day gone by for the last 3 or 4 years that he's not wanted to just speak it out, to tell the truth, to get it out, because he was afflicted inwardly. And I looked at him and I said, "How is your level of self-hatred?" And he said, "It was off the charts. I hate myself. I hate myself, even to the point of thinking, I wonder what it would be like to end this." And so this is what's happening on a regular basis because of the sin that sometimes we choose to cherish. Sometimes it was done to us. And the Lord says, "I'm searching it out. I'm searching it out because I want you to be free as a people." Not so that you can just spill your guts to everybody and they know what a rotten sinner you are, but you can agree with the searching work of the Lord and you can say, "Yes, right now. The secrets come out right now. I want to be set free from this." And so every giant falls and every chain from the past is broken in two. And we begin to move forward from this place in victory. We begin to move forward from this place in childlike faith. And can't you see what I'm saying? Do you hear my heart here, guys? This is the Lord's heart for us. The Lord's heart for us is not to hurt us as a people. He wants fruitfulness. He wants a release of life. He wants joy. He wants peace. He wants light to come forth. Sean, you want to come up here real quick, brother? So we were praying about this last night, and there we go. And Julie McGathy had a word that the Lord was going to the, she saw a vision of a cake with like the icing on the top, and we're staying up on the icing, and that's where we're at, but the Lord's taking us down deeper. He's going into the deeper places of our lives. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. That's the word in season right now. And then John said, yeah, Sean had a word at prayer yesterday morning. I wanted him to share.
We had already prayed at the well yesterday morning, and we were just finishing up, and I closed my eyes just thinking about things, and I saw dark areas, and in these dark areas was light that started coming out, and it spread, and I saw three or four times that this happened, and what the Lord was saying to me was that we are the light of the world, and as we practice being that, then we go into places that don't have that light, but we come forth and we become the light and it comes to darkness.
Amen. Amen. So what we're doing with these confessions and what we're doing is we're agreeing with the light. We're agreeing that the light would come in and shine forth through us. You remember what Jesus said when he says that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden? What keeps the light from shining forth, everybody? What gets put over the top of it? A basket, a bushel basket. And many of you know what I'm talking about even today. There's a bushel basket of shame over the top of you. There's a bushel basket of condemnation. Your light's still there inside. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you. But there ain't nothing getting out. There ain't nothing getting out. So how will people in darkness see a great light unless you shine? They will see the light when you shine forth. And so the Lord's got multiple motives in setting us free, one of which is our joy and contentment in Him. But more than anything, Psalms 25 says, verse 11, for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. For the sake of your name. The Lord's all about His glory. And so this bushel basket that's over us because of choices we made in the past is something the Lord is going to help you lift off when you're saying yes to Him, when you're ready. When you're ready to come into the light, the Lord will be right there to pull this thing off. Many of you know what I'm talking about. But there has to be an agreement with that. Tyler, Brother Tyler, you want to come up here if you would, please? So he says in verse 18, look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. So I'm talking to my brother Tyler. Nobody knows I'm calling him up this morning. So just you could be a little nervous if I haven't called you up yet because you might be coming up. But my brother Tyler and I have walked through life together well since he was born. I think I've known him. And so we've been through a lot together and been through some junk that we carried in and stuff like that. But the other night, he doesn't know where I'm going with this, but I challenged him after a round of golf about body life. And I challenged him about life together. And he had a reaction to me and then a response about what I was saying to him. And I think you know what I'm talking about now. A response about what I was saying to him for his good, really. And I wanted him to share that with you because I think we can have the same reaction that he's about to describe to the Lord. There can be an initial no, and then the word of the Lord comes in and reveals what's actually trying to be accomplished here. So with all that preparation, would you mind sharing what I just said?
When Jonathan challenged me, I, in tears, was immediately broken and humble before the Lord and... Am I right? Come on, give it up. We were driving back from Manhattan, and we talked about a bunch of stuff, and Jonathan just starts asking me if I'm in the body right now, and I'm like, yeah, you know. And he's like, well, you know, are you going to a house church? I'm like, well, no, we've got a lot of friends. There's people at our house all the time, and they're believers, so that counts. He's like, well, you know, basically... Are you praying with them? Are you being intentional with them? Or are you just hanging out? Because hanging out is really just worthless in the long run. So you can imagine, I'm sitting there like, okay, well, I'm just trying to have a ride home. You don't need to be all picky. That was my initial reaction. and four or five after that, just like, man, would you just get out? I mean, honestly, and just leave me alone and let me figure out my path on my own, and you can do yours, and I might do some of it like you. I don't want to do all of it like you. That's what's all going through my head. So he's asking me how I'm feeling, and I'm like, if I'm honest before the Lord, I wasn't able to tell him any of that because none of it was true. And I had to, then I did have to humble myself because he's asking me what I'm feeling, and I'm like, nothing that I'm feeling is the truth right now. And the truth is that Jonathan is challenging me to be in the body because it's going to bring me a lot more satisfaction and happiness than not being in the body. So the enemy tells me that he's trying to inflict me with something bad, but really he's trying to give me the opportunity to have something good. And by the way, I've obeyed with that like once since then, and like a release of freedom has happened even this morning. So just that's a whole different story, but like one little tiny obedience, like for the last 3 months, it's been a real struggle. I've been getting apart from the body and, you know, just that darkness that Jonathan is talking about. And then that challenge and multiple other words, some confession, and then like a little bit of obedience, just like this much. And then all of a sudden it's like, and just like this huge blessing this morning.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So I wanted him to mainly say that what resulted from that was a flow of peace in the Spirit. And that what I was really calling him to, really what the Lord was calling him to through me, was for his good. The Lord was not after him to hurt him. He was calling him to lose his life that he might, what? Find his life, right? He was calling him to a place of freedom, even though it felt like you're calling me to a place of slavery, right? And so, last story here. So I'm talking to another brother in the Lord here a couple of days ago, and he starts, I ask him what I can pray for him about, and he just kind of comes forth with this. I've had this anger in my heart for years around this specific issue, and it's now it's cultivated in my heart, and it's now sprung off into other different areas where I'm angry at work, and I'm angry at home, and I'm angry with relationships, the anger all around. There's this root, though, that goes back years in this specific area. So we talked about that, and the Lord was doing it. I was just there to help midwife the process. But I said, are you willing to agree with the Lord and lay this anger down? And he said, it's so much fun to be angry about this particular issue. Fun in that I enjoy it. I enjoy the anger. It's like a comfort for me. You know how you can just hate, you know, certain things and you feel the yes inside of you, and you just, I wish I could just squeeze some more hate out of that, you know. And he was feeling that way. So I just asked him, are you ready to lay this down now? I'm telling you, this brother, over an issue that might not seem very big if I said it out loud to many of you, but he just kind of grunted this confession out. Just he couldn't start praying for like 20 or 30 seconds, and then finally, Lord, forgive me for this. And I'm telling you, I felt something break in the Spirit and something lift off when he said that. He got done praying. I said, how'd you feel? He said, I feel 100 times lighter than before. And I followed up with him yesterday in text, and he said, I feel empty. That anger feels empty inside of me. It's no longer there anymore. So I'm just telling you, the Lord is here. I said this a couple weeks ago. He's coming to set the captives free. He's coming to set the captives free. And so the big secret in all of this is that the Lord wants a healthy church. He wants people who will call upon his name, and he will turn and heal their land. But I'm telling you guys, the rough places have to be made smooth. The crooked places have to be made straight. And the valleys have to be lifted up, and the mountains of pride have to be brought down. I'm telling you guys, I want us to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. Every secret thing, every hidden thing will be brought to light. Amen? Everything. Let's cooperate with the Lord now. Let's say yes now so that on that great day when we're standing in front of Jesus and the angels, we don't have to acknowledge it at that point. It can be done. It can be taken care of here. The Lord will deal with this on the great day of judgment. I'm telling you. And everything that is not gold and silver and precious stones will be burnt up. So I'm asking that we would be preemptively throwing this stuff on the altar. We'd be laying it down, knowing that the Lord has our good for us, that He has our best interests in mind.